Welcome back to the Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up tomorrow night at the Concord Music Hall in Logan Square, a musical history lesson, if you will. Sit back and enjoy the wild music of the legendary Frank Zappa.
Wednesday, I watched a riot. I seen the cops out on the street. Watch them throwing rocks and stuff and choking in the heat. Listen to reports about the whiskey passing around. Seen the smoke and fire and the market burning down. Watch while everybody on your street would take a turn. The stomping, smashing, bashing, crashing, slashing, busting, burn. And I'm watching and I'm waiting, hoping for the best. Even think I'd go to prayer every time I hear them saying that there's no way to delay that trouble coming every day. No way to delay that trouble coming every day.
It's been 50 years since the release of Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention album Freak Out, which was one of rock music's first concept albums. Frank Zappa is known as an experimental rock singer-songwriter. He died in 1993. He came to fame in the 60s and 70s, mainly as a cult favorite, although some of his music did hit the radio airwaves. But if you ask anyone under the age of, say, 30, they may not know who Frank Zappa is, and that's where his son Dweezil Zappa comes in. Dweezil's been playing his father's music in a tribute band called Zappa Plays Zappa, and where he explains his dad's artistic vision, almost like a guided tour. But that name garnered cease and desist letters from the Zappa Family Trust, which is run partially by his brother Ahmet. A legal battle over the music and the name birthed a new name. 50 Years of Frank. Dweezil Zappa Plays Whatever the F He Wants. The cease and desist tour. And Dweezil Zappa joins us on the line now. Dweezil, thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I want to talk about the music. I'm really interested in it. I'm a big fan of your dad's music. But I want to start, I guess, with the fight with your family over the name. Talk about that. Did I set that up right in the intro? I mean, is this really a fight over the name and the royalties that surround your dad's name?
I mean, ultimately, what's going on is I was touring as Zappa Plays Zappa for a little over 10 years. And during that time, my mother trademarked the name Zappa Plays Zappa and claimed ownership of the name. And then she did not pay any of the T-shirt sales revenue to me, which she was supposed to do in the contract that we had. And so at the point where she passed away, there was a battle over this money that was supposed to have been paid for 10 years. And the new people coming in, Ahmet and Diva, said, well, actually, we're not going to pay that. We're going to continue to take 100% of the merch. And if you don't let us, we'll send you a cease and desist letter based on you using the name Zappa Plays Zappa, which we own as the trust. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous because I'm also a member of the trust, but I'm not a voting member, so to speak. So I have no say in what they do or how they do it. They cut their nose off to spite their face, you know. So I did offer them the chance to have I said, well, why don't you guys put official Zappa merch on and pay me 50% of the revenue? And they said, nope, we want 100%. And they still refused. And so I just did a tour that I changed the name to Dweezil Zappa Plays the Music of Frank Zappa. And they sent me another cease and desist letter saying I couldn't use that because Frank Zappa is trademarked. And so that was a completely ridiculous situation because it's not with any merit to do that based on the usage that I was using it for. And rather than keep playing the game, I just changed the tour to my name, Dweezil Zappa, and then I'll play whatever the F I want. The cease and desist tour, because it became so stupid that they just kept sending letter after letter.
Is it hard for you, I mean, to have interview after interview and you know, do you have the story floating in the New York Times about, you know, your family feud? I mean, is it difficult for you as someone who, you know, is close with your siblings to be in a position like this where money is playing out in such a public way?
Well, it's not my preferred set of circumstances, but when it all comes down to it, it's about the music. I love the music. I want to be able to share the music and play the music with the band that I have and have people come out and enjoy it. And what we do is expose the music to new generations of people. And there's income that comes from that that already goes to the trust in the form of all the ASCAP royalties that's paid at every concert. So the trust is always getting something from these shows anyway, but they just want more and more and more. And what they don't realize is I'm the only one that's actually doing anything to promote, you know, what our father actually did. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of a weird thing that comes down to no good deed goes unpunished, you know?
We're talking with Dweezil Zappa about his show that's at Concord Music Hall in Logan Square tomorrow night. It's called 50 Years of Frank. Dweezil Zappa plays whatever the F he wants, the cease and desist tour. Let's talk about the music. Let's get into it. I mean, this is really 50 years since the legendary album Freak Out came out, double album, concept album. What was so special in 1966 about Freak Out? What was it about this record that is worth a whole tour sort of around 50 years later?
You got to put it into perspective as to what the musical and social climate was back in 1966. And also keep in mind that Frank was only 26 years old when he made this double album. The stuff that is on this record is unlike anything that the world had ever heard at that time. And if you listen to it, even by today's standards, it's still so far ahead of the curve that it's really music from the future. And he did so many things on just that particular record that still stand the test of time in terms of a piece of audio art. You know, the one a really great example on the record to me that is so different is a song called Who Are the Brain Police. Mm-hmm. There's some distortion on that. And at the time, distortion was very, very new to the recording industry. There wasn't really an amplifier that would distort. The only way you could distort something was to record it improperly, like overload the tape machine or a channel in the console, which was typically something that you would try to avoid because you didn't want it to distort. But Frank went way overboard with this massive distortion on Who Are the Brain Police. And that song itself is just such a curiosity. I mean, you hear it and it just, even now it sounds bizarre, but you can only imagine what mm-hmm. would have happened if a 12-year-old would have gone into a record store and paid for this record themselves and brought it home and put it on in their living room, and their parents come racing in as if they've just heard a horrible car accident and want to make sure everyone's okay, you know, and they're like, what the hell is this? You will never play this again.
And there was a lot of fear around the culture changing. I mean, obviously, 1966, you talk about a lot of people will associate your dad's music with almost like LSD trips, drug-induced music, or at least that's how it was categorized by the man, if you will. But the concept being that it was something that was way in left field for what the culture was doing at the time.
Yes, well, the absurdity around all that, true, is that my dad didn't do any drugs. Maybe his audience did drugs listening to some of his music, but he himself was just making music purely out of creativity and was not drug or alcohol induced. And he actually made fun of the culture that was doing drugs. And all those things are in the early Mothers of Invention records. So it's quite funny that he got the yeah. reputation that he did when he was completely against all of that stuff.
Dweezil, where did your dad's creativity come from? To be a musician and someone who's recording music at the age of 26, like you said, and in 1966, where did the ideas, the creativity come from to expand, to experiment, to try something new, to go against the grain?
He started off as a composer. He was very interested in becoming a classical composer, and he went to the library to learn how to do all of the musical notation. He used to just draw stuff that looked like music, and then he decided, oh, I'm going to try to really figure out what this is for real. And he started writing orchestral music when he was 11 or 12, and he just taught himself how to do all that stuff. The rock band part of it became a way to facilitate being able to work in the context of orchestral music, he would use a rock band to play some of his music and conduct the band almost like it was an orchestra. But then eventually that led to enough money for him to be able to work with orchestras. And he did make a few albums with some orchestras. And people don't realize that that costs a lot of money to do that. And you don't necessarily make it back when you do a recording. I remember he did a recording with the London Symphony Orchestra back in the middle 80s. And it cost him $500,000
wow.
to have them perform this music. And that was only just so he could hear it. And I remember he wasn't even that satisfied because they didn't rehearse enough.
Well, I mean, for you, your connection to the music, to your dad's music, you know, because you become almost like the Zappa historian to be able to go in deep, not just with traditional songs, but to look at some of the deep cuts, but also the lyrics and the arrangements and the music. I mean, you really have immersed yourself in all of the artistic vision that your dad presents. Why do that? What is it about going that deep that propels you creatively with your music?
I think the whole thing started with, once my father passed, I noticed that there were a lot of people under the age of 30 that didn't really know anything about my dad's music. And I felt that was a shame because he had accomplished so much and his music was underappreciated and underrecognized for the achievements within the music industry in terms of what he did live on stage, how he used equipment to make shows sound better. He was really at the forefront of technology and really trying to make sure that whatever got recorded sounded the best that it possibly could. He had his own recording, mobile recording studio that he would bring with him everywhere. And in those days, you didn't have a laptop that could do it. You had to bring a whole truck
right.
that would get shipped over in a container if he was going over to Europe, you know, and this is like the back of a semi, you know. And so, I mean, he was so committed to the whole process of making sure the quality was pristine. You know, I just felt like there wasn't anybody that operated that way, and that I thought generations that didn't know about it should know something about it. So that's when I started the Zappa Plays Zappa thing. And there's so much music to learn and perform that we're still doing it after all these years
yeah.
because we've just barely touched the tip of the iceberg.
That's amazing.
With the amount of music that he made. But ultimately, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to do, accomplish with this was kind of what you were talking about in the beginning, which was give people almost a little history lesson so that they could have more of an appreciation of what my dad really did. Because I think it was too easy for the casual exposure type of listener to get the impression that he was a novelty artist if they've only ever heard songs like Valley Girl or Don't Eat the Yellow Snow
right.
or things that might have gotten on the radio. That's not reflective of the majority of the music in his catalog. So, you know, saying what I was about him being a classical composer, that's really more of the majority of his music arranged for rock instrumentation. And so that's the stuff I focused most heavily on over the years. And, you know, that's what we continue to do.
Dweezil Zappa is going to be on stage tomorrow night at the Concord Music Hall in Logan Square with his tour, 50 Years of Frank. Dweezil Zappa plays whatever the F he wants, the cease and desist tour. Dweezil, thanks so much for taking some time out. Good luck with the show tomorrow.
Thanks. One other thing to mention is that Ike Willis will be joining us tomorrow on stage as well. And he is one of the vocalists that many of the fans have come to love over the years. And he's never performed with us before.
Wow.
So this will be a debut of epic proportions
tomorrow
night. There
you go. That's great.